bring up the slides. Oh, great. Hello, everyone. As you can see, 2 Peter 3 is what we're talking about today. I know you're all very accustomed to having snappy titles and snazzy catchphrases, but this is what you have. And I encourage you at the end of the sermon or the end of the sharing to maybe come up with a title of your own. Because that's what I have for you. All right. Can we go to the next slide? So we are covering the last chapter today of Peter's second book. So this is his last book, last chapter. This is where he's really, you know, finishing it off. And he starts it by saying, "Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the commands given to you by our Lord and Savior through your apostles." So I think it's really important to kind of see what lens Peter is applying to this letter, right? Why is he writing it to us? He's writing it to stimulate, to stir up, to encourage us to wholesome thinking. I think, you know, some of what Peter writes about can be kind of confrontational, I think. Some of it, you know, is talking about, you know, don't give in to evil desires, you know, these false prophets are really wicked and evil people. And there's some pretty heavy things, and I think sometimes it can almost be a little bit, you know, scary to think about. And I think it's important to say that Peter's not doing it to be all scary and, you know, cane you, but he's saying, hey, I want to encourage you through these letters. And, you know, the common themes throughout his letters has really been, hey, look, you know, be holy, live godly lives, set yourself aside for God and dedicate your lives towards God and, you know, follow his commands, follow what he's set before you. And, you know, don't be distracted by the world. You know, these sinful, evil desires, don't let them burden you down. Don't let them carry you down, hold you down. And that you have what you need to do this, you know. Peter often is writing as well that, hey, you know you know these things. These are just reminders, but, you know, I want you to, you know, refresh them, remind them, because they're important as well, even if you already have what you need to accomplish things. In fact, I like one of the verses in the first chapter. This is 2 Peter 1:3. He writes, "His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness." And I think that's just really encouraging. He's saying, look, you have everything you need to accomplish all these things. Don't stress too much. Like, you know, work towards it, but you've got it. And so this is kind of just painting the context. This is the lens. This is why he's writing what he's writing and, you know, some of the things of what he's writing. But, you know, going on to the next thing is kind of covering why it is that Peter's so excited about these. Why is he reminding us of these things? So if we can go to the next slide, please. Yeah, and I think the big thing that Peter's really trying to remind us of, and this is why we should live holy and godly lives, is that Jesus really is returning soon. And this is kind of a common theme that Peter's really reminding us. One, that Jesus is actually going to return, and it's going to happen pretty soon. So I will... Someone else want to read it out? Who wants to read? Well, actually, I have the mic, so I'll keep reading. It's all right. No one has the mic. I didn't set it up. I'll read it out. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire and the earth, and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and the speed it's coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with this promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. That's like, it's pretty intense, you know, that wording, right? And I think this is why it's nice to know that, you know, Peter's writing these things to encourage us. He's not writing it to be scary, but it is scary, right? And the reality is Jesus will return, and the day of the Lord will happen. And on that day, all will be laid bare, things of this earth will perish, and there will be judgment. And that's just part of the gospel. That's part of what the apostles are telling. And I think, you know, Honestly, sometimes it's easy to forget this, but this is really a core part of what it means to be a Christian and to follow Jesus. I think for myself, sometimes I do forget this. You know, I get carried away with my job or, what I should be thinking about in the future. But Peter's really saying, hey, this is what's going to happen, and this is how you should contextualize your life, right? You know the world's going to end. You know the things of this world are going to perish. You know, how does that change how you're going to live, right? And at the end of it as well, he reminds us that, as God's elect, this is pretty scary, but this is actually something to look forward to now, as, this is the means of our salvation. But like I was saying, it's kind of easy to dismiss this or forget it sometimes. I think especially because, the apostles were often saying how soon things would happen, right? And, we'll go to the next one because Peter covers this very well. Above all, you must understand that in these last days, scoffers will come, scoffing, as scoffers do, and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming? He promised. Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has been since the very beginning of creation, right? So Peter knew critics were going to come, right? Peter knew that, people would dismiss the claim of Judgment Day. And you might notice that I jumped ahead and then I jumped back. Makes sense, I promise. Peter knew that people would doubt this, right? And he knew that the main criticisms would be like, well, where is it? Look, Peter, you said it was coming soon. It's been a month, where is it? Peter, it's been a year? Is it really happening? And after a decade, I'm sure they're like, come on, Peter. Is it really coming soon? And in the same way, I think, Peter was saying, people say everything is the same today as it has always been, right? The world we have today, it's always been like this, right? How could it not be? I have a fun little activity next, actually. Next one. Yeah. Next slide, please. Oh, yes. So this is a fun question. Kind of fun. Who knows how long ago World War II was? Any guesses? Shout it out. 85? 45? Yes. All right. When was Wi-Fi first commercially available? So when could you have wireless internet in your homes? 20 years? A little bit more? All right, how long ago was COVID-19? Surely four years? All right, you can go to the next slide. All right, that's the answer, all right? You might be like, yeah, I know World War II wasn't that long ago. I know we've only had Wi-Fi for, 25 years. COVID-19, yeah, that was only 4 years ago, right? But I think when you really think about it, right, these are really massive events that massively change how we live, right? And I think today, if you think about, World War III, that's not really going to happen, is it? Right? It's crazy to think about. Well, maybe in recent news, you might be like, oh, actually. Things like, AI is a big topic now, right? And they're saying AI will revolutionize the world. It will change how we think about our jobs. But I think a lot of us are like, really? Surely things will just stay the same. And, even COVID-19, I think if I ask you, how likely is it that there's going to be a pandemic that just changes the world? I think, honestly, a lot of us are just like, it's not really going to happen. In the back of your mind, it can, right? But I think actually conceptualizing that these things have happened and probably will happen again is not always easy to do, right? And Peter knew this, so we can go to the next slide. Peter knew that we often forget things. Can we go to the next slide, please? Okay, right, we forget things easily. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters, also the world at that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. All right, so Peter knew people deliberately forget things. It's very easy to think, the way we live today, it's always been like that, right? But Peter, rightfully and wisefully so, says, you might doubt that God can or will destroy the earth, but he's done it before, right? You know, there was the flood of Noah. And in the last chapter, he also talks about Sodom and Gomorrah. They were destroyed by brimstone and fire. And, you know, Peter's really saying, look, God's done it before. He's saying he's going to do it again, and he is going to do it again. And he's also said, demonstrated that God was able to separate the ungodly from the godly as well, which is, I think, a reminder of comfort for us, because it's like, okay, well, God's going to destroy the earth, you know, am I going to be all right or not? And Peter's saying, well, you know, he's done it before, he can do it again, and he will do it again. The second part that Peter addresses, the second criticism, is the timeliness of it, right? And before I was saying, you know, after a month, after a year, you know, if I told you, I'm going to give you a really good gift pretty soon, right? You'd be like, nice, that's exciting. After a week, you might be like, all right, I must be getting it tomorrow, right? It must be pretty soon. After a month, you might be like, he's probably got confused and you'll probably remember and give it. After a year, you're probably thinking, Daniel's not giving me anything, you know? And I think, you know, again, Peter is addressing this criticism, if we go to the next slide, by saying that God's idea of time is really different to us. And even though God seemingly is being delayed, it's actually not. And he writes, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Yeah, pretty cool. So, Peter's really, like, so another thing to think about is, I think Peter really does believe God is coming soon, right? I think that's what he's being told. I think, you know, this is kind of my interpretation of, but I think Peter really thinks it's coming soon. I don't think Peter thought that, you know, the return was going to come in 1,000, 2,000 years, right? So when criticism is coming, Peter's, you know, remaining faithful and remaining confident and doubling down and really saying, you know, Jesus, God is faithful. It will happen. And, you know, maybe, you know, my idea of soon isn't quite what it means by a month, a year. That doesn't mean that God is a lie. This doesn't mean that God's promise is, you know, unfaithful. It doesn't mean God's being late. It just means that time is really weird. And I think to God, it's just like, you know, it's true. You know, God, just the creation story describes the heavens and the earth being created in 7 days, right? And, you know, whether or not it's a literal story or, you know, a metaphorical story, science will say, you know, the creation of the universe took billions of years, right? So, and Peter's really saying, look, a day to God can be like 1,000 years, and at the same time, 1,000 years can be like a day. But, you know, don't take this delay as though God is being unfaithful. Don't take it as though God is being late to give his promise. Interpret it for what it is, where God is really being generous to us. He's giving us extra time. He's saying, look, you know, I know there are some of you who believe in me. I know some of you have given your hearts to me. I know some of you have come to repentance. But there are also some of you who haven't done it yet. And if I give you more time, you'll come to it, right? And I think that's very encouraging as well, you know, when Peter's saying, you know, he wants everyone to repent. God wants everyone to repent. And this extra time isn't God being tardy. It's being generous and merciful. Great. Can we go to the next slide? Yeah, not the last slide. So how ought we live knowing all this, right? So this is a bit of a throwback to one of the earlier slides. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. So Peter's covered. Jesus really is coming back. As I said, you know, it's definitely going to happen. You know, whether you believe it or not, God's done it before, he's going to do it again, and it's going to happen soon. So with that knowledge, how ought we live? So we can go to the next slide. Please. Great. So I think Peter kind of brings two categories that he really encourages us to think about in 1 Peter and 2 Peter, and he addresses it in this last chapter. The first of which is to live holy and godly lives. So Peter's really saying, look, everything's going to perish, everything you know. You really ought to set your lives aside for God and to follow his commands, be obedient, and live full lives in God. And the second kind of goes hand in hand with it, where it's saying, don't be carried away by the error of lawless men. And I think lawless men here is kind of just like, you know, if you're not following God's law, you're lawless. So it's just the way of the world. And I think another way to phrase it is, you know, don't be distracted by the ways of the world. I like that phrasing, but, you know, that's Peter's phrasing, and I very much respect it. So how do we live holy and godly lives? So Peter gives us a lot of examples. We go to the next slide. Obviously, this can kind of go across the whole Bible. You know, that's what the Bible is, you know, trying to figure out God and how we should live. But in Peter, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, he gives us a lot of examples. The amount of, like, verses I reference to isn't how many times it shows up, it's just how many times I've referenced it, you know. So there are some, there's probably more, there's, you know, I just don't have all of them there. But here's a solid list of what he encourages us to do. The first is, you know, getting rid of the bad. You know, get rid of malice, get rid of deceit, get rid of all the yucky, sinful stuff in your lives if you haven't already done that. The next is grow in your faith. You know, add to your knowledge, add to your grace. I think, you know, sometimes in church and Christianity, we can get very fixated on getting a ticket to heaven almost, right? And I think a large bit of what Peter's saying is like, look, your position is secure. Your sins have been forgiven. You know, what you get to grow in now isn't so much, you know, getting a ticket, but it's growing in that, you know, growing in your relationship with God, growing in your identity and the gifts of which God has given you by grace. And, you know, Peter as well, I think it's interesting. So Peter really is encouraging us to be in the world, not of the world, but be in the world. And I think, you know, logically, if you think, okay, the world's going to perish, right? I have my secure ticket and I don't want to be distracted by anything. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go in a cave and just hide out till the end of days, or, you know. But, you know, that's not what Peter's saying. Peter's not saying go hide away, you know, make sure you're all secure, but he's still encouraging us to live good lives in the world and to be in harmony with one another. I think that's really important. And, you know, there's a bit of crossover between, you know, distractions and living godly and holy lives, but, you know, not being in harmony is a big distraction, right? You know, bickering and all that nonsense is just like, what are you doing? You know, live in harmony. And, you know, these are all good things, and, you know, I don't have all of them automatically. I'm not standing here saying, yes, I do this, you know. Come on, guys, get on my level. No, you know, these are things we grow in and work through, and that's also why Peter's saying, you know, I know you know these things, but here's a reminder, right? He knows you know it, and he's saying it again, because he probably suspects you might struggle with it. You might forget it sometimes. And another big theme of what Peter's saying is being alert and self-controlled, right? And this kind of flows into the next section. Nice. So these are the things that, you know, Peter is giving examples of things to avoid. You know, your evil desires is a big one that comes up. You know, your sinful desires. You might have gotten rid of the, you know, icky stuff and your sins are forgiven, but you need to make sure, you know, keep away from it. It distorts you. That was a good verse somewhere. Do I have it here? Let's see. No, I do have other good verses, so I'll come to that later. No, there are a few. Is there a good one? Yeah, no, there is a really great one. Let me see if I can quickly find it. If I can't, okay, we won't find it. No, wait, no, I do know where it is. Let me Sorry about this. Okay, we'll come back later. So I won't say it yet. But it's a good one. It's definitely all the verses are good, but this one in particular, I'm excited for it. So evil desires, you know, put them to the side. You know, that's kind of obvious. Great. You know, suffering. I think, you know, the way Peter writes about it is kind of, it can become a distraction, I think. You know, when we have bad things in our lives, pain, you know, they're not good. And I don't think God's sitting here saying, yeah, you know, pain, great. No, but it's ultimately a distraction, right? If everything is temporary, if our sights are set on God, this suffering, it's just there. You know, it's not something to be discouraged by, distracted by, and Peter encourages us not to be distracted by it. It doesn't mean it doesn't suck. It doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. But ultimately, it's not where our focus should be. And I think that's the big point, right? You know, there's nuance to a lot of this, right? And I think, you know, there are times where you need to spend time, you know, praying for certain things and abstaining from things completely. But ultimately, Peter's really encouraging, the focus should be on living godly and holy lives set aside for God, right? That's the focus. The focus isn't on suffering, it's on whatever. There's another interesting one here, where it's doubt of forgiveness. And I think it comes up a couple times in Peter. And I personally am, you know, I sometimes struggle with this, right? You know, you might think about sins you've done, whether in the past, long time ago, maybe last week, maybe yesterday. And sometimes it can be a big focal point of your mind, right? You can think, wow, that was really crappy of me. Why did I do that? And I think Peter really is often reminding us, like, hey, you know, yes, deal with your sin. That is important, right? But your sin has been forgiven. And I think there's a really powerful verse in 2 Peter's first chapter. First chapter, this is verse 10. But if anyone does not have them, these are kind of godly qualities, he's nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. And I think sometimes when we reflect on our sins and we forget that we haven't been forgiven, we are a little bit blind, a little bit nearsighted. It kind of just takes your focal point and you just become so distracted by it. So again, there's nuance, and there are times where you do need to deal with your sin, and that's important, right? I'm not saying just forget about your sins and deal with them. But once it's dealt with, you know, trust in that. And the other things he's talking about is false teachings. So this is what Dad was talking about last week. You know, there'll be false teaching, false prophets. Don't be distracted by those. Focus on what's true. Focus on the word. And the other thing that Peter brings up a couple times, and this is kind of obvious in light of, you know, Judgment Day and the earth perishing, is that, you know, don't focus on things that will perish, like gold and silver. And I think there's a lot of nuance to apply to this, right? I think when you read this, it's like, okay, well, you know, I'm going to go live good lives away from the world, away from the marketplace. I'm not going to have any money. I'm not going to have any of this. And I don't think that's what Peter's saying, right? I don't think if you have silver and gold, burn it, right? I don't think Peter's saying that. I think he's saying your focal point shouldn't be, you know, gold and silver. Your focal point shouldn't be these things. There might be time where you know you do need to teach about suffering and you need to deal with that, but they shouldn't be your focal point, right? And I think Peter summarizes, I feel like what Peter talks about is really summarized well in the second chapter of 1 Peter, if we can go to that. Next slide. Yes, awesome. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. And I think this is, to me, I really like this little section. And I think it really kind of encompasses a lot of what Peter's saying. He is saying, you are a chosen people, right? First and foremost, know that truth, hold on to that truth, be stable in that truth. You know, don't be distracted by things. Know that truth. This is where you're coming from. This is where your confidence comes from. And, you know, he's not saying just hide out in your own little country of Christians. He's saying, no, be in the world. But know that when you're in the world, you're like a stranger, you're like an alien, so that you don't focus on the things that this world focuses on. You focus on the things of God. And that not only that, you'll live such good lives, both in godliness and holiness, but I think also in excellence and just being good where you are, doing well, you'll be like a beacon to others, right? And that while you're living great lives to yourself, which is a reward as itself, right? You know, when you live a good life, that's good for you. But Peter's also saying, when you live a good life, that's good for others, because they will see those good deeds and they will be pointed towards God. And when we are doing these good things, that's also good for God because it brings God glory, right? And the focus, you know, isn't on, I'm going to do good because I'm going to get lots of gold and silver, right? That might be a byproduct of being good. But the focus is to bring glory to God. And part of that is also being a testament that others will see and come to repentance. Because we know, as Peter says, God wants everyone to come to repentance. And judgment day will come. And we need to believe that and to perceive and act out of that, knowing that it's going to come soon as well. And that's where I'll leave it today. So I'll pass over to Simon, who'll lead us through communion. Holly's going to sing a song. With others, I think. We're all going to sing a song, even better. Great. Thanks, guys.
Pray for us then?
Oh yes, I will pray for us as well. I think that's good. Thank you. Lord, we thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the opportunity to come together and to hear your truth and hear what you have to say for us, Lord. And Father, I thank you for Peter and the letters that he's left us, Lord. And Lord, I thank you that as your elect, we look forward to the day you return, Lord. And I pray that you would help us to hear from you, help us to see what you are doing in our lives, and help us to live lives of obedience so that we might be holy and godly in all that we do, Lord. And Lord, I pray as well that we would be spurred on to do good works for your glory, Lord. And these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.